It's now time for Maine's Political Pulse, our regular analysis of government and politics. I'm Carol Bousquet. There is a special election in Lewiston on Tuesday that could have implications for the balance of power at the State House. The election is to fill a single seat in the Maine House of Representatives. But the race is receiving a disproportionate amount of attention because the House is closely divided between Democrats and Republicans. I'm joined now by Maine Public State House correspondent Kevin Miller to talk about this election and a few other interesting recent developments in Maine politics, including reactions to the U.S. Supreme Court striking down President Trump's tariffs. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Carol. Nice to talk to you.
So walk us through this special election in Lewiston and why it could be so important.
So this is an election to fill House District 94, which represents part of Lewiston. The candidates are Democrat Scott Harriman, who currently serves on the Lewiston City Council and on the city's school committee. And then the Republican is Janet Bowden, and she also serves on the Lewiston School Committee. As for why it's so potentially important, right now, Democrats have just a two-seat majority over Republicans in the House. There are 74 Democrats and there are 72 Republicans, plus there are three independents or unenrolled lawmakers. And we've seen, multiple instances over the past couple of years where very contentious, high-profile bills on things like abortion and immigration that they've passed or failed by just one or two votes. And then to kind of step back and put this into an even bigger context, if we look just 6 years ago, Democrats had a 32-seat advantage over Republicans. So the Republican Party has really been able to whittle down that gap to almost nothing.
And we mentioned it sounds like this race is getting more attention than your typical special election for a seat in the legislature. What's going on?
Yeah, so both parties are pretty energized. We've seen top elected leaders, both past and present, stumping for the candidates. And then, interestingly, last weekend, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Ken Martin, was in Lewiston to knock on doors and help kind of drum up support for Scott Harriman. This is really unusual for a state legislative race to see a national party chairman get involved. We can actually hear a bit of what Ken Martin said to Scott Harriman's supporters in this clip from a video from Lewiston last weekend.
Yes, we're winning across the country. Yes, this might be a historically Democratic district, but we've got to go out and take advantage of the opportunity right now, remind people that we can't sleep on special elections like this. We got to go and turn out the vote. That's why I'm here today.
Martin later told the crowd that Democrats can no longer, quote, abide ignoring races like this. And this kind of goes to this bigger dynamic that we're seeing where the National Democratic and Republican Party machines are focusing more and more on these so-called down ballot races. And these are races for the legislature or for school boards or in some states, not Maine, but other states, for judgeships. And that's because in a lot of ways, it's often easier to make significant policy changes at the state and the local level than it is at the national level, given how paralyzed things are by this polarization that we're seeing in D.C.
Kevin, what are the candidates saying about the race?
They are both, of course, talking about local issues that are important to residents there in Lewiston. Things like affordable housing and taxes and public safety. The recent federal immigration surge in Lewiston, that has certainly come up as well. But they're also framing this race, as you and I just talked about, as important for control of the Maine House. So here's what Scott Harriman told me the other day.
This is an important election that will help maintain the Democratic majority in the State House and make sure that Maine Democrats can continue doing the good work that they've been doing for the people of Maine.
And here is Republican Janet Bowden's take on the stakes in this election.
I really think that balance in Augusta matters, especially in a city like Lewiston. Voters deserve representation from both sides, and a one-party control rarely produces best outcomes for everybody.
So do you have a sense of what will happen on Tuesday?
Yeah, it's hard to say because in such hyper-local races like this, it pretty much all comes down to who comes out to vote on, in this case, a pretty random Tuesday in February. I can say that this has been a Democratic seat for some time. Representative Kristen Cloutier held the seat for 5 years before she stepped down last fall. And before her, now Congressman Jared Golden, who's a moderate Democrat, he held that seat for a number of years. But Republicans have made some really significant gains in winning additional seats. And because special elections typically don't draw a lot of voters, that makes the candidates get out the vote efforts all that much more important.
And based on what you wrote in the Political Pulse newsletter, there's another politically newsworthy event happening in the Lewiston-Auburn area later in the week. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so I don't know how newsworthy it will be, but I can say pretty confidently that it will be interesting to watch, at least for everybody. So there will be a very unusual and I'd say pretty unorthodox debate on Wednesday in Auburn between two candidates for governor. And these are Democrat Troy Jackson and Republican Bobby Charles. These two are, they're very vocal, kind of a no-holds-barred sort of candidates, and they've been going after each other on social media for some time, even though neither of them are their respective party nominees for governor at this point. But things changed earlier this month when Troy Jackson said he was fed up with what he described as Bobby Charles race baiting and what he characterized as racially inflammatory comments about a Somali American lawmaker and Somali immigrants in Maine. So he challenged Bobby Charles to a one-on-one debate, and after some negotiations, Charles agreed. And I'll just add here that Bobby Charles has responded, basically accusing Democrats of, quote, screaming racism whenever they don't want to address an issue.
What are you expecting to happen?
I think it's anybody's guess, but these guys can be pretty blunt and pointed on hot-button issues. Troy Jackson, he's a logger from Allegash who served in the Maine legislature for many years, including as Senate president. He's known for giving these barn burner speeches. Bobby Charles, the Republican, is a former naval intelligence officer and an assistant U.S. Secretary of State who used to work on counter-narcotics. And he was really energetic in welcoming ICE and federal immigration agents to Maine last month. So these two definitely have very strong and different opinions on issues like immigration, some of the other social issues.
But as you said, neither Charles nor Jackson have won their party primaries. So how could this play into their campaigns?
Yeah, so I think these are both really crowded primaries. There are 10 Republicans still officially in the GOP primary, and then there are 6 Democrats who are still running for their party's nomination. So if they do well during this debate, at least in the eyes of kind of the party loyalists who might be watching and who vote in primaries, that certainly could help their bids for the nomination. And I would just add, for anybody who's interested in watching, the event isn't open to the public, but it will be live streamed.
And lastly, some major news dropped just a little while before we started this conversation. The Supreme Court struck down President Trump's sweeping tariffs. What are we hearing so far from the state's elected leaders?
Well, we're primarily hearing expressions of relief and applause for the court's decision. Independent Senator Angus King called it a, quote, civic lesson for both the president and the Congress. And he said that he hopes Congress will reassert some of its constitutional authorities. Likewise, Democratic Representative Shelley Pingree from Maine's 1st Congressional District, she called it a win for businesses and industries over what she said was executive overreach that damaged the economy and U.S. relationships with trading partners. Republican Senator Susan Collins, she said the ruling, quote, reaffirms that only Congress has the constitutional authority to impose tariffs, and the president can only do so under a clear and limited delegation of authority from Congress. But 2nd District Representative Jared Golden, who is one of the few Democrats in Congress who has supported President Trump's tariffs agenda, had a slightly different take. Golden said tariffs are a proven tool to restore balance and tilt the scales back in favor of American manufacturing. And after the Supreme Court ruling, he called on Congress, not the president, to prove his bill that would impose a 10% baseline tariff on other countries.
And that was Maine Public State House correspondent Kevin Miller. You can sign up for the Political Pulse newsletter, as well as find other conversations like this by going to mainepublic.org/pulse. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.